Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you today. And this is our special Emerging Enterprise series brought to you by AppZorro. We have our co-host with us from AppZorro and a very special guest. Lee, you ready for this, man?
I am. I'm excited. All right. Before we get into it, I'd like to introduce Sam Agarwal. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And then who'd you bring with you?
We have here our guest, Mr. Harvey Bryant.
And then one of your colleagues?
Yes, Mariana as well. She is the account executive for AppZorro, doing and day-to-day work.
Before we get into Tarby's interview, can you talk a little bit about AppZorro? What are you doing for
sure.
Folks?
So we're based at the Atlanta Tech Village. We're a specialist of mobile app development. We do native mobile apps for Android and iOS for startups and enterprises. We've been in business a little over 2 years now. It's a company that I started while I was still in college. And we've been doing great with startups at the Tech Village.
And then you're also a mentor over there at Tech Village,
yes,
right?
I'm an advisor for mobile app technology.
Good stuff. Yes. Well, our guest today is Tarby Bryant, and he is the founder of Gathering of Angels. Welcome, Tarby.
Good. Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Well, it's exciting always to have you here because you have such great stories and you've been serving this angel investor community for quite some time. It's a big, big anniversary for you guys, right?
This is. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary. We started out in New Mexico helping young companies that were coming out of the national laboratory find seed and early stage capital. And I moved back again to the Atlanta area where I grew up in 2012. So we've been doing Gathering of Angels on a regular basis, actually, here since 2000. So 17 years back in Atlanta.
But 20 years overall.
20 years overall.
And then you went to school here, right, in Georgia?
I did. I went to Westminster and then off to Davidson and back for an MBA from Georgia State.
Mm-hmm. And then what got you to New Mexico?
We just decided to go do something different, get out of the Atlanta traffic for a little while and head out to New Mexico. And where I was out there for 21 years and really enjoyed the high climate, the 7,000 feet elevation and just wonderful cultural experience.
Now, were you involved with the angel community prior to starting Gathering of Angels?
I had been an angel investor here in the Atlanta area, making investments in hotels and office buildings and corporations. And out there, started. I taught for actually 8 years out there and realized that the companies coming out of the national laboratory, they were a few incubators, much like Tech Village out there. But they didn't have any VC firms. They didn't have any angel groups. And so I started one out there and then spread it all over the country before the recession hit. I was having about 4 or 5 meetings per month in different cities. And then when the recession came on, the world changed a bit for everybody on both sides, both young companies trying to find money and angel investors pulled in their investment opportunity interests. Their 401ks became 201ks. And we did it only in Santa Fe and Atlanta. And then 2012, I moved formally back to Atlanta again after being here for 40 years.
Right.
I think it's broad-based. I try to have an open architecture, I call it. I don't do gambling and I don't do sex websites. Everything else is open game. I've done bed and breakfasts. I've done software, hardware, midware, medical device. We had a gathering of angels here in Atlanta last week, and one of the companies came out of Emory and was a vaccine for respiratory for children, specifically. I had a company that came from Irvine, California that was in the network speeding up, actually, downloads from videos, and then a fitness company from Cumming, Georgia. So I think it's interesting that we're not all technology. There are other groups in the city that do nothing but technology.
Sure.
And I try to keep an open mind and an open platform. And We have coaching sessions in the afternoon, actually from 10 to 12, the meeting itself now. We've changed a little bit. It's a luncheon sort of meeting based on Atlanta traffic.
So
we do it at lunchtime at the City Club of Buckhead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How's your experience at the City Club of Buckhead? I actually was looking into that, joining the club.
Very, very positive. I've been at most of the private clubs in the city and moved around from the Ravinia Club and then out to Vinings, to the Vinings Club, and then the Georgian Club. And we're back at the City Club of Buckhead at 3343 Peachtree Road. And right. they do an excellent job. The general manager, Mario, is a really professional, and his team is good. And the meeting rooms are perfect. And the AV works 90% of the time.
Pretty good odds. Now, a part of working with the Gathering of Angels is this coaching element, right? And you're no stranger to teaching and coaching, like you mentioned. You've also written a book about angel investing.
I have. I did that about 3 years ago during a snowstorm up in Big Canoe where I lived. I couldn't get out of my driveway, so people had been prodding me to write a book. So Wiley and Sons out of New York contacted me to do a book on angel investing, and I started writing, and finally, when the snow melted up there, I was able to get down the hill. But it's a labor of love. It's a Socratically written book with questions and probes and comments about different aspects of how you raise money from angel investors.
So it's for the entrepreneur that wants to raise money. It's not for an angel investor to invest.
I think it's more geared toward the entrepreneur. My plan is to really help them learn how to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
They often know how to do apps or how to do this or how to do that. And they're good, often really very good marketeers. But to shake the money tree, you basically have to do certain things and prepare your presentation accordingly. And answer the hot buttons that investors are looking for.
Absolutely. And in my experience, angel investors are not investing in the product. As an angel investor, you're investing in the entrepreneur themselves. So they have to be, their personality has to display that they're able to take up the challenge. They'll go through the whole crucible process of developing a business.
Sam, you're exactly right. The presenters that come before the Gathering of Angels have 20 minutes in length plus 2 to 5 minutes of Q&A. I usually encourage them to spend a third of their time talking about the service or the product that they have, a third of the time talking about the management team, specifically the leader, and the team that he or she has surrounded themselves with, and their board of advisors. People invest in the jockey. When times passed at the Kentucky Derby, when Calvin Burrell was in his day, they invested in him regardless of which horse he was riding on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true with angel investors. They look at the entrepreneur. They look at their track record. They spend time basically interrogating, if you will, the CEO and the management team. And then they make their investment decision. From a point of view of angel investors, it's usually 1 to 30 days after their presentation
that they'll make a decision.
They either pull the trigger or they pass. Don't.
And then do you get second chances, or is this kind of like...
Yeah, I have people come back actually a few months later. I don't want repetitive presentations immediately afterwards, month after month. But they do come back, and often an entrepreneur will come back for a second round or a third round with our angel group, and then they're ready for a VC round or an investment banker if they're a gazelle.
Now, your group that attends these presentations, is it hard to find angel investors here in Atlanta? Are they coming from all over now?
The angel investors are predominantly from the Atlanta area. I get a few VCs and investment bankers, but most of them are accredited angel investors. I have, been doing the gathering since the summer of 2000 here in Atlanta, and I have people that hear about the meetings. They are complimentary to the angel investors.
Right.
But they do give 2 hours of their valuable time. And if they're interested, they give more time to a particular company, whether it's Sam's company that they might be looking at and they understand mobile apps, or they understand, you know, a bed and breakfast, or they like the fitness space.
Right.
Everybody.
Because you give them the heads up, like these are the, it's usually three or four companies present every.
It's three now. I've decided that the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. So you can only keep people in the room for about 2 hours, and then they get restless and they go to the restroom and don't come back. I try to basically have three. They're fully prepared. I have reviewed their PowerPoint presentations in advance. They practice on the morning before the event, and then I coach them with hand signals like Stone does from time to time. And so, and then, you know, I put them on a clock. They have 20 minutes, no more. The clocks go off. There are two of them. And then there's time for Q&A after that. And then all of the angels in the room fill out an evaluation sheet. So it's not.
So they get feedback no matter what.
They get feedback, constructive, hopefully, feedback. And then the angel investors fill out a form that they express interest of clarity of the presentation, understanding the business model. They evaluate the management team and advisors, the exit strategy, which is the critical thing for an angel investor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like Uncle George making an investment. Mm-hmm. They're putting money into somebody that they really have never met before. So they want to evaluate that management team, and then they circle an investment amount, and then they specify how they'd like to be followed up with. Or if they have no investment interest, there's a little circle that they can put on there and says, sorry, no investment interest, and they won't be called or followed up with by the presenter.
Okay. Mr. Bryant, I have a question for you.
I go by Tarby.
Tarby.
That's easy.
Thank you. Tarby, so my question is, so the first third of the presentation, what you look for is basically look into the product or the service. I have an inside question for you. Other than the business plan, the strategy, the exit plan, what is it that the angels right now are more lured towards? What type of a product ideas are really generally getting funded nowadays? What's going on in the market right now?
What's hot right now? Anything trending?
You know, I think that that's a challenging question, but probably the answer might center around, you know, what the product or the service is and what is its unfair competitive advantage over everybody else, because there is competition in all space. There's rarely some company or product or service that comes that there's no competition. And so how does that particular company differentiate themselves from others in the space? You know, they're better here. They have this. They have that nobody else has.
Their
competitive advantage. And I call it the unfair competitive advantage. And it is one of the criteria that we use to evaluate from 1 to 10. So I'd say, we funded companies in all different spaces. And hopefully we'll always continue to do that. What's more popular today? I would say strong management team over strong product or differentiated product.
Right.
A team that is organized, that has, you know, both, you know, young tigers and gray hair as advisors, and, you know, the young leaders listen to the people that basically have gray hair or no hair.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're working, you mentioned that you don't just pick anybody that to present, right? There's a vetting process, and they got to be ready for this crowd. There's also, on the other side, a vetting process of the angels, right? You're not just, there's a lot of wannabe angel that like to play angel that aren't really serious about throwing down the money, right? And you're pretty particular about that as well.
I am, and they fill out a form for us, a personal profile. So I basically know in advance that they're accredited investors, and I keep track of who writes checks.
Mm-hmm.
And if after some period of time they've been drinking the wine and eating the food and not writing checks, I take them off the list.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have too much to drink from time to time, that has occurred. I basically take them off the list. And
right.
if they want to have a glass of wine and chit-chat with me, they can do that some other time. This is a serious opportunity. They're there. It's a business opportunity for them to basically, from an angel perspective, see companies that they wouldn't otherwise see. And I bring them from all over the country.
Right.
They've come. I've funded companies from Mexico, from Canada. I've had them from the U.K., 4 or 5 years ago out in New Mexico, we had a young fella came from Tokyo, Japan, that had a medical device that was novel and unique, and he got funding, and he went back to Tokyo as a happy guy.
And that's what's great about the way that you set this up. You give everybody the heads up. We got these three companies coming in. This is kind of a snapshot of what they're going to be talking about. Then the investor can say, you know what, I don't know anything about that. I'm not investing in that category, so I'm going to pass this month, but I might go next month.
That's correct. They get an executive summary. I have a template an executive summary is the first 1 to 3 pages of a business plan. If a company sends and says, Tarby, I'd like to present at the August 9th gathering of angels, but I don't have a business plan, I say fairly clearly, you got to have a business plan. You got to have a team together. And then I will consider you. I look at probably 25 to 35 young companies per month to pick the best three. And then the best three, all three of those have to pay a presentation fee. So the business model suggests that the angel investors who give their time, and if they're interested, they make an investment, not give their money. They make an investment.
Right.
They come complimentary. The presenters each pay a fee of $2,500 to present with no percentage of money raised. And it's SEC regulated and approved.
And then whether they get funding or not, they get the coaching. That's all included in this.
That's right. They get about 10 hours of coaching and prep by me personally. And then I help them with follow-up.
And feedback from all of the people there.
And feedback from everybody in the audience. That's a requirement that they enjoy today, a nice lunch, a good social time, and three good presenters that are prepped and prepared and ready to go ahead. But they do have to fill out the forms, and that's their requirement.
Right.
All right. Well, I heard you mention something about being in the hotel industry. I actually come from a similar background. My family's business is for supplying hotel industry products, FF&E products, furniture, fixtures, and lighting. I wanted to hear more about how you got involved in that industry and what's your presence there.
Back in 1975, we were making investments in corporations, and I was syndicating raw land, and a fellow walked in and said, Mr. Bryant, would you and your dad be interested in buying a developer's interest in a Hyatt hotel in Nashville, Tennessee? And my dad passed, and I said, you know, I think that'd be fun. I know that Nashville, Tennessee doesn't have a 4-star hotel. I'd been staying in motels up there for business purposes. And so I bought the developer's interest. And the Hardin Company here in Atlanta was the contractor. It was under construction. And a small little insurance company called Prudential was the major equity partner and the lender. And then I bought 4 or 5 hotels after that and did 2 bed and breakfasts. And I have 3 standing hotels in Atlanta, 1 at the airport, that is the Renaissance next to the Delta headquarters, the Westin in Buckhead. Is my baby, and my crown jewel is on 14th Street, is the Four Seasons.
Okay. So that started out, you kind of accidentally got involved in the hotel?
It was all good luck, I think. It was a good time, but the last hotel was started off as Swedes and Spaniards getting together with a hotel that was 53 stories in the air. And eventually the Four Seasons folks came in and they're the manager, and it's owned by REIT today.
What are some of the lessons learned of the hotel, and does that translate to angel investing?
You know, I think it does. I think you have to spread the risk. The hotel business, when I teach finance, is double leverage. It's both an operating company and a real estate transaction. So in good times, you do very well. And in horrible times like recessions, a lot of hotels go into foreclosure and ownership changes and equity gets washed out. So, you know, I think you have to have diversity and you really have to understand your market, particularly at the five-star level.
Right. So a quick question that I had was, did this idea of diversity of investments, did that help you during the recession? Because I would think that diversifying your investment, that reduces your risk, obviously.
It does. Right. And I encourage all angel investors that come to my meetings that, you know, you don't need to put all of your eggs in one particular basket because there are good times and there are always recessions that follow. And that diversity is the real key to angel investing. And I've got a lot of stock certificates that I have invested in over time. And, you know, ever so often I have a Scott Schickler that comes and sells his company and everybody benefits, the entrepreneur and all of the investors that have become part of his stable.
Right. Can you tell us about any kind of investment, app-related investment that your group has done recently?
You know, again, Scott Schickler had an app, basically, and a piece of software that was for No Child Left Behind, the software used for children with disabilities and challenges. And he basically sold the company, and that's a real success story. He invested, he came to the Gathering of Angels in Atlanta, and I took him on a road trip to Charlotte and Hilton Head and several other cities, and he got money all around, and then sold his company. But, you know, I have had apps in the past that have had good success. That's probably the most recent one. Some of them not recently, but I've had companies that actually have done gone to IPO, or they've done a reverse merger with a publicly traded company, but most of the companies have as their exit strategy, they get acquired by a bigger fish in the business.
Now, I know for a portion, some of the people you've had on have been involved in the gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was
video games have done well. I haven't seen any recently, but we funded several companies both here in Atlanta and through the Santa Fe Gathering in the gaming space.
Now, as part of the service that you provide for the entrepreneur, do you help them, like if you see a gap in what they need, like you can match them with, you know what, you need to beef up your website, or you need to beef up your technology, or help them get the resources they need to make their, you know, maybe they're just not ready yet today, but if they worked on some area that they might be able to be ready in 90 days or a year or whatever.
Yeah, and I do tell them that. I did that once or twice yesterday when somebody wanted this and wanted that, and I said, well, you're not ready for the gathering yet. I recommend that you go to SCORE. You need to go to the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center at one of the universities, Georgia State or wherever, Georgia, and get help and counseling. The chap wanted just to sit down with me and talk for 2 or 3 hours. Well, you know, if you don't have a business plan, that's the first step. But the answer is I help them with their valuation, which is, as Donald Trump would say, that's the art of the deal. They have to understand how you do a valuation. And one of the chapters in the book, I think it's 8, is that I talk about how I basically value a pre-revenue company using discounted cash flow and, you know, an industry multiple and a 40% internal rate of return. But they get coaching. They said, you know, and I'll tell them that, you know, I liked your plan. I liked your executive summary, but where's the exit strategy? Mm-hmm. How does an investor get his or her money back mm-hmm. in a reasonable time period? You know, not 10 years.
Right. Because you're on a different clock if you go the path of angel or VC, right?
That's correct. And, you know, an angel investor doesn't have the sharp teeth that the VC does, and they're not driven by the same sort of things. And, you know, I've had angel investors who come and say, Tarvey, I spent 40 years at Ford Motor Company. I do nothing but automotive stuff. Okay, please bring an automotive company. And he and his wife came to the Gathering of Angels in Santa Fe, and I had a bed and breakfast from Creed, Colorado. You know, this was a couple that came down from Western Colorado, and you know, they were doing a bed and breakfast, and the wife wrote a $400,000 check from her trust fund.
She fell in love with it.
She fell in love with the people who right. made the presentation. Went up to Creed, which is a small little mountain town in Colorado, and she wrote a $400,000 check. A year later, they refinanced it, and they got their money back, and everybody was happy.
Mm-hmm. And that's a. Can you explain a little? You mentioned the difference maybe in temperament that a VC and an angel has.
Well, you know, an angel is not Uncle George who will
right.
who will write you a check and
just because
you're, you know, the special family member. An angel investor has excess disposable cash flow, has investment potential.
How much money is that, like, to be accredited?
Usually they have to have $300,000 a year in recurring income or $1 million in net worth. Now, there are people that come to the Gathering of Angels that are not fully accredited today because the SEC has changed their investment guidelines
mm-hmm.
that allow for somebody that has $300,000 or $400,000 in liquid cash to make investments in high-risk seed and early-stage companies.
Mm-hmm.
But a VC basically is investing predominantly pension or family office sort of funds for others, and they have a different both mentality. Often they have a different perspective. And their fuse is a lot shorter than an angel investor.
So an angel, what's the timeline an angel expects to get that exit or return?
I would say 3 to 5 years.
And then a VC?
Is shorter. There are a few of them that basically will say, all right, you know, it's not like your partner's Warren Buffett and he's a long-term investor. A VC has, and a VC, you know, makes an investment in 10 companies and they win on one or two.
And they know that. Everybody knows going in.
Everybody knows.
We're going swinging for the fences.
Every time, and they predominantly take in investment in preferred stock with ratchet clauses and milestones and performance things. And if the young entrepreneur misses a milestone or two,
that's going to cost them.
You're toast, brother.
So that's so it's more of a finance oriented. They're looking to win or lose quickly.
Yeah,
and then so that entrepreneur's got to know that going in that this is not going to be a bootstrapping experience. This is your the pedals to the floor. And you got to start selling. You got to have results
all the time. You've got to get customers. You got to turn, you know, trial, you know, beta tests into paying customers
quickly. And, right, and then the angel maybe has a little bit more patience,
and predominantly more gray hair often than mm-hmm. than the young VC
mm-hmm.
Folks that just come straight out of business school that go to work, and it's a wonderful experience. But it is a different process. I've been a VC twice in my career, both for a company out of Boulder, and then I started a venture capital fund in 2000. That was mm-hmm. an exciting year, as I remember. the world changed in 2000 as it did in 2008, but an angel investor has a longer perspective, but, you know, again, 3 to 5 years is about when they start looking for you know, it's time for me to get out, and management needs to provide an opportunity for them to exit if, you know, things change, they have health and medical issues, they want to go to their grandchildren. And so you have to be able to take that angel out, and not the haircut needs to be decent.
Now,
on the way out.
How do you see the Atlanta market? You've seen it evolve over the years. How is it now?
I think it's strong. I think it's healthy. Atlanta Tech Village, Dave Cumming has done a great job with that. And there are other incubators that are popping up in all places of Atlanta, and I think that's a healthy thing. Some of the VC investments are down for the first part of this year. But the angel groups are here. There are two or three of them that are around Atlanta. And I think it's a healthy climate. The city is well run. And I think that the next administration that'll come in next year is going to, you know, I think it'll
continue. You're bullish on Atlanta?
Yeah, I really am. And I'm working with Peter Amon specifically, who is his co-chairman of his finance committee, to help get Peter elected. And I did that 40 years ago when Maynard Jackson became the first black mayor of Atlanta. And I'm back in the politics game again.
That's another game for another time.
That's right.
So now, what do you need more of for Gathering of Angels? Are you always looking for entrepreneurs? You're always looking for angels? What do you need more of?
I'm always looking for both quality presenters that are exciting and interesting, and check writing angels. You know, I spend a lot of time vetting on both sides, and it's time well spent. And you know, when somebody comes and pays a fee to present, it's important that they know that they're good people in the room that are listening. They're not going to sleep. They're not on their phone and playing around. And, you know, I have a rule about cell phones. And, you know, the first time they go off, I ask them to turn it off. And the second time, they leave the room at my request. So I'm pretty strict about who comes. I'm always looking for quality angel investors who are willing to take risks with young companies, and I'm always excited.
And that's important for the economy. You need these. There's a lot of great ideas out there that just need a little help to get them going, because that's where the jobs are created.
It is, and that is where, and I work very closely with Invest Atlanta, which is the economic development arm for the city of Atlanta. And Eloisa Clementich is a very, very bright lady, and a big team and a strong group of people. But predominantly, they're interested in corporate locations and bringing companies and doing TADs and different sort of finance at the bigger level. An angel investor and the stuff that we do helps companies get to that level,
right,
where they can move to Midtown and hire, you know, 300 people.
Right. And we're seeing that more and more.
Yes, we are. And they come out of the Atlanta Tech Village and, you know, they pop in at the seams. They've got 1,000 clients there now. And, you know, there's not that much space in that building that's completely full. I saw it when it was vacant, when David first started it.
Now, for you, when is the, it's every month, the Gathering of Angels?
I do it every month. I just had one last week, on the 12th. And I have another one on Wednesday, August the 9th, and I'll have one in mid-September. So,
now, how many entrepreneurs vie for those three coveted spots?
I usually have 25 or 30 companies that express interest. They send me an executive summary. I review that and critique it quickly at no charge, and then I try to pick the best three. And I've got one of the three companies so far for August, and I've got two companies that are interested already in the September meeting.
All right. So where can our listeners go to learn more, have a conversation with you or somebody on your team, or is there a website?
There is a website. It's www.gatheringofangels.com, or they can call me on my cell phone. I answer my phone at 404-606-2193. Live up in Big Canoe, so you may not want to come up there for coffee, but I'm in Atlanta almost every day, and I'd be glad to sit down with any entrepreneurs that are interested in presenting or angels that want to come and bring their checkbook.
Well, I'm so delighted that you were willing to drive down from Big Canoe and visit with us this morning. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yes, thank you for being here, and it's an honor to host you from AppZorro.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Sam. And
all right, Sam, let's make sure that we have coordinates for AppZorro as well. What's the best way for folks to reach out?
Definitely. You can visit our website, appzoro.com. We're based at the Atlanta Tech Village.
And then if you're an entrepreneur that is in the process of trying to get funding but don't have an app, that's a...
Definitely come to us.
You can help them with that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That'll make you look better, look sexier for these venture capitalists and angel investors.
Absolutely. Product always helps.
All right. And thank you for making this possible, Sam and AppZorro. We couldn't do it without your sponsorship.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Until next time, Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our sponsor is AppZorro. Our guest today, Tarby Bryant with Gathering of Angels, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.